There are only a few times in history where suspects managed to beat the cops at their own game. From genius fugitives to civilians who embarrassed cops so bad they had to leave, here are five times suspects outsmarted cops.
Promise you I'm not no damn prison escapee.
You'd have done run by now.
Starting with the case of Joshua Lloyd, who in July of 2022 was geocaching Phoenix, Arizona. Geocaching is an activity where people hide physical containers known as caches in different places around the world, and others solve puzzles in order to find them. Joshua is currently searching on the side of a public road, but it seems somebody wasn't too happy about this.
Oh, hold on. We got the cops. They're gonna run my license plate. Morning, can I help you?
I don't know, can we help you? Do you live here?
No, but this is public, correct?
I'm not sure on that. Could be private property.
Could be, but if there was, I do believe there would be a sign posted somewhere, right?
Not necessarily. Is that your car?
That is my car.
Okay. Well, if it is public...
I would figure it's public. You have electric access here.
Is there anybody in the car?
No, just me. But if you want to go check, go ahead, go check.
Can I get your permission to do anything else?
No.
Do I need your permission?
You would need my permission to go inside the car.
No, but you just said if you want to go check if there's someone else in the car. Do I?
Oh, yeah. Go check and you can go look in and see if...
Go ahead. Do I need you to tell me to go ahead to do it or can I do it on my own?
Looks like this officer isn't having a good day. At the first possible moment, he decides to start an argument out of nothing. He is right that he doesn't need permission to look inside the car, but Joshua is just trying to be polite. There's no need whatsoever for the cop to make this difficult. This little rant of his seems almost boring. Out of insecurity, and that becomes a pattern as the footage progresses.
Well, I mean, you could do it on your own. You can do a plain view search.
Okay, good. I thought you were under the impression that you had to give me permission.
I mean, would you guys like my name? I'll give you my name. You don't have to run the plate for it, because my name's not on the plate.
What's your name?
My name is Josh.
Josh?
Mm-hmm.
Josh what?
Lloyd.
Hey, Phil.
Joshua Lloyd.
Huh?
Joshua.
You're not towing my car.
We may have to tow it. It's not registered to him. It's registered to a female. It's a ban. It's left on the roadway running. I'm not going to leave it here.
Oh, are you serious? Not even going to question me on who it's registered to? Would you like the insurance and registration?
Oh, you're not driving it. Why would I ask for that?
It seems as though this cop is trying to make everything into a bigger deal than it needs to be. Sure, it might seem odd that the car is registered to a different name next to a guy that appears to have just been staring at a wall for 30 minutes, but we know that Josh has a reasonable explanation for it, just the same as the cops would if they bothered to ask. But instead, the cop just decides that the best idea is to tow the car and call the owner, instead of just talking to the guy that's explicitly saying he can explain everything.
I'm gonna try and get a hold of the owner, see if they know where the car is. Otherwise,
she'll tell you that her son-in-law has it. You're gonna let him act like that. Just because I'm standing over here next to a wall, and you guys haven't even asked me what I'm doing. I even turned around, I gave you the thumbs up. He comes out all hard. Why? I'm not trying to catch you in anything, man. Asking a simple question.
The other cop's smirk says it all. He's well aware that his partner's behavior is unreasonable and frankly just weird, but at the same time, he can't badmouth him either.
Have you been allowed to use the car?
I live with her, yes, and I'm allowed to use the car, hence the reason why I have it.
Okay, all right, well, we're going to do some research, find out whose property that is. You got your name, your information. If it turns out that it is private property, then I'll author a report for trespassing.
I don't think it would be private property because what I was doing was a public event.
Josh,
so you guys never even asked me.
Listen to your statement. I don't think. That's why I'm going to find out for sure whose property.
Okay, you go ahead for sure.
Again, here's the thing. I don't need your permission to check out whose property it is, but I appreciate you giving me the go-ahead.
Can I have your name and badge number? Your card?
8632.
8632.
You're recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I have your name and badge number, please?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I greatly appreciate that.
The way the second cop acts after his partner leaves is like he's brought his kid along to work, and he's telling Josh to just let him have his fun. Regardless, the first officer tells Josh that they're gonna head off and do research to make sure this isn't private property. But even if it was, it'd be incredibly hard to convict him of trespassing anyway. As you can tell from the footage, the area of land he was on is directly next to a public sidewalk, and there is no signage alluding to the fact that the grass is somehow private property. However, even if it was, because because of the lack of signage, Josh would never be made aware that he shouldn't be there, meaning it's impossible to claim he knowingly entered private property, the legal definition of trespassing. But before he lets the cops go, Josh has just one more thing to say to them.
Hold on. Before you go and give me the lecture, how about this? Before you come up all hard ass on somebody, you ask them what they're doing. You could ask me simply at the very beginning, very nicely, hey, what are you doing?
Do the research and find out whose property you're on, because you may be breaking the law.
It's public property, I can tell you that.
Stating that as a fact.
I'm stating it as a fact because I like fucking with you guys.
Well, now you're using more profanity.
I can use profanity. It's the First Amendment.
No, you can't.
It's the First Amendment. You cannot restrict my speech. I can use it to emphasize my sentences. One man's curse word is another man's lyric.
Josh articulates everything perfectly and, of course, is perfectly correct. Throughout this entire interaction, he provided everything the cops asked for and more, remained polite throughout most of the conversation, and most importantly, knew the law down to a T. But with all of that said, he was still treated badly by this cop who frankly had no idea what he was talking about. He's completely right to explain his free speech rights too. But to explain this further, let's take a look at the case of Tom, a teenager who managed to totally school two cops when he was pulled over by cops who also had no idea what the law was. This man was walking down the side of a road when a police officer passed him. As they drove by, the man flipped him off, breaking no laws in doing so. But the cops still got personally offended and decided to do this.
Why are you giving me the finger?
What?
What's your problem?
What?
Why are you giving me the finger?
I'm walking away.
Huh?
Am I free to go?
Why are you giving me the finger?
Am I free to go?
No. Come
here. For what reason?
The man who we'll call Tom gets pulled over for allegedly flipping off an officer. Immediately after talking with the officer, Tom asks if he's free to go, and if he's not, why he's being detained. Predictably, the officer isn't able to give a great response to either of these completely valid questions.
What's your problem?
Am I free to go?
No.
What, do you have a problem?
No.
Do you have a problem?
No.
You don't have a problem, then we're... I can leave.
Why are you giving me the finger when you're walking? Huh? Come here.
I'm free to go.
No, you're not. Get over here.
Why?
Because.
Is that a lawful order?
Yeah.
For what reason?
Because you're giving me the finger.
That's legal.
No, it isn't.
Says who? What's the law?
What's your name? How old are you?
Conveniently, it isn't difficult to find the law on this one. Perhaps unsurprisingly, contempt of cop or police disrespect is an incredibly common catalyst for unlawful arrest. However, it's very easy to prove that swearing or gesturing at a cop in a non-threatening way is completely legal across the U.S. Freedom of speech is, of course, protected under the First Amendment right, and courts have concluded that giving the finger counts as protected speech. In fact, in 2006, a case was opened against a man in a very similar position, and the court explicitly stated that directing the middle finger at an officer is protected expression under the First Amendment, meaning that Tom is well within his rights to flip the officer off. But unfortunately, the situation begins to escalate, and even more words are exchanged.
Have a good one.
Hey,
fucking pig.
Whatever.
Fuck you.
What?
You ask me.
Come here.
I'm afraid of you.
Come here. Get over here.
What?
Get over here.
I'm not doing anything illegal.
Yeah, you are. You just cursed me off.
That's not a crime.
Yes, it is.
Says who?
Says me. Turn around. Come on.
Bro, that is not a fucking crime.
Yes, it is. Why are you cursing me?
It's not a crime.
What's your name?
It's not a crime.
What's your name?
Help! Help!
No help.
Help!
At this point, the officer turns off his body camera, which on top of being illegal, definitely isn't the best thing to do as you're handling a civilian who's screaming for help. This time, the cop cites Tom's more recent expletives as the reason for arrest, but once again, Tom is completely allowed to say what he said. The law says the only words not protected by the First Amendment are fighting words intended to incite an immediate breach of peace. Or, in short, words that directly threaten someone, or imply that the speaker is going to physically attack someone. Obviously, what Tom said falls into neither of these categories, and as backup arrives, the cop starts to realize that he might be in the wrong.
You're being detained because you're acting strange.
What? That's not legal.
It is legal. He's allowed to detain you until he... performs this
so
investigation.
So what am I doing, though? What am I doing that made him detain me? What legal
third
right?
Third time, I rode by him twice, he shot me the finger. So I turn around and say, well, you're
is that a crime?
Problem. And then he
that's
tells
not,
me to...
No, that's not a crime.
F off, pig.
Yeah, fuck off, pig. That's not a crime. He's looking at you because he's like, what the fuck you want me to do? Because it's not a crime. I know my rights. I don't have to say any of that.
You do if you're being detained.
For what reason? What legal reason am I being detained for?
Where are you coming from and where are you?
What legal reason am I being detained for? I need to know that. Legally, I need to know that.
Now the officers are telling Tom that he's legally required to identify himself now that he's being detained, despite not being able to provide a reason for his detention. While this is often correct during an arrest, in New Jersey, a person being detained not suspected of committing a motor vehicle offense can refuse to give ID. But the cops are still way behind on this. Now they can't even figure out why they're detaining him.
Why are you
shooting me the finger?
Why are you...
Is that illegal?
Cursing a fucking bird. Yes, it is. It's causing a public disturbance and a public alarm if you are cursing
so
in public.
So a single one.
So when you are cursing in public, you are causing a public disturbance. You're being a nuisance to the public.
I'd like to see you guys prove it in court.
What he is doing is he's not saying you're being charged with anything. At that
I'm
point, he's detaining
you, wrong with
you to
what's
make sure
wrong?
That there is nothing
make
wrong.
Make sure you're
what,
okay.
Make sure
reason,
that you're okay.
What reason does he need to detain me?
He thought maybe he thought you were signaling him down. I'm not sure.
He knew very well that I wasn't signaling to you, right? I wasn't signaling
well,
to you.
Well, you bring attention to yourself.
That's not signaling.
You're acting strange. I'm making sure you're okay.
The officers are desperately trying to make excuses now, and now seem to be claiming that this is a welfare check, and Tom's middle finger was a signal for help. Luckily, a case closed in 2013 explored this very same matter. A cop observed a man giving him the finger and pulled him over, stating he thought he was trying to get his attention and was concerned. But the court eventually ruled that, quote, "This ancient gesture of insult is not the basis for a reasonable suspicion of a traffic violation of impending criminal activity." So with this in mind, it's extremely likely that the court would decide that the cop was lying here as well, even without the body cam footage. But the best part of this entire investigation is watching the officer's face as he tries to escape the hole he's dug for himself.
You cursing and using vulgar gestures is
so
causing
what's the
a
First
public,
Amendment for?
Is causing a public disturbance.
What's the First
alarm.
Amendment for?
The First Amendment is for your freedom of speech, okay?
Okay.
What does that have to do with
was I making a
gestures?
Call to action? Was I making a call to action? Was I, like,
when you're
threatening
acting,
you in any way? Did I threaten
about?
You?
Do you understand?
You know what a call to action is?
Do you understand that you're acting?
Is that a call to action? Am I calling for an action to be done against you? No.
Do you understand
you're
that it is?
Attention to
listen,
yourself
listen, 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 listen.
That's not legal.
It's behavior that's out of the ordinary.
From what?
So what were you doing?
Well, I want to know from your perspective.
I pulled up both the scenes, so you tell me what you were doing.
To bring your attention.
I plead the fifth. You fucking idiot.
What has now turned into an argument lasts for a few more minutes before Tom finally gives in and hands his ID over and is told he's free to leave. Remember, he was not legally required to identify himself, but that was the only thing that got the officers to let him go. Tom also informed the officers that he intended to pursue legal action, but very little information about this is publicly available, or the fates of these horrifyingly corrupt officers. Both of these cases have featured people who knew the law perfectly and managed to defend their own rights from corrupt officers. But let's flip the perspective quickly and look at criminals who were so smart, they managed to escape the cops with crafty techniques and street smarts. One such case is that of Quantrell Schwartzlow, who managed to outsmart cops by escaping custody in just seconds. Quantrell was brought in for strangling a girl and assaulting her, a crime he clearly didn't want to be convicted of. Unfortunately for Quantrell, his handcuffs were a dead giveaway, and he was captured 4 hours later. Of course, this isn't the only example of suspects escaping police custody. In fact, Richard McNair's escape plan was so smart, he managed to stay out of jail for 18 months, but not without an extremely close call. Richard was originally arrested for the shooting of two men after he was caught robbing a house in North Dakota. One was badly injured, and the other died at the scene. Richard was given 3 life sentences for this, but he had absolutely no intention of sticking around for any of this. In 2006, he managed to escape from the prison by burying himself in a pile of mail and being carried straight out the door. But just hours later, he was stopped by police while jogging away from the prison.
You live around here, bud?
No.
Where you live at?
Down the road by Pineville.
Pineville?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you have any form of identification on you?
No, man.
What's your name?
Robert Jones.
Richard appears calm, cool, and collected while talking to the cop, and gives the innocent alias of Robert Jones, stating that he's just out jogging around where he's stationed for work.
That's not the problem right now. What's your address?
I don't have an address. I'm at the hotel. We're working on houses and stuff. I got the roofing.
What is? We got an escapee.
Oh, shit. Where from?
Prison.
There's a prison here?
Richard must think that the jig is up, but he manages to stay calm and play it cool. He gives a simple, neutral response and keeps his stance on the loose to avoid looking uneasy. The cop then radios in for a detailed description of the fugitive and attempts to match it up to Richard.
How old is your guy? You're how old?
50. I was born in 56.
You said born in 56. 58. What color you got?
Green. Well, kind of a turquoise blue.
Turquoise blue.
Most people in this situation would be getting restless and giving short, closed-off responses because of nerves. But Richard somehow manages to give full answers to everything and even jokes with the officer. He's slowly trying to convince him that he's just a normal guy and that he's absolutely not hiding anything.
You know the bad thing about it?
What's that?
You'll match it up to him.
Well, that sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't even know the address. We just got into town about a week ago, and he dropped me off to jog. I always jog about 12 miles a day.
Where'd he drop you off at?
Up there on that road by, there's some construction going on up there, an hour.
Uh-huh.
And he dropped me off. He'll be back to the hotel in about probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Where are you from?
Huh? We're originally Dallas, Texas.
And what's your name again?
Jimmy Jones.
This should have been it for Richard. He gives a completely different name to his original alias, but the cop somehow completely missed it and carries on regardless.
Put yourself in my position. Where's y'all's motel at?
Okay, Walmart's right there. Go right at Walmart, and there's a road, 165, that goes south. Little old tiny hotel. I mean, it's clean, but it's family owned.
Little old tiny hotel.
Yeah, you know, like a motel deal. You park up there. I promise you, I'm not no damn person escaping.
You'd have done run by now. You know that yourself. Did you see anybody or anything?
There's some kids up there playing. I'm sorry to have to hold you up, but...
Hey, no, I'm just doing my job, man.
I know you are. Can you write down your phone number, your cell phone number, so I can have whoever call you?
Just call 911 is all you got to do, and they'll get a hold to us.
All right.
That's our quick line there.
You have a good day now.
Be careful, buddy.
Thank you.
All right.
This was the last time Richard McNair was seen for 18 months. During his time on the run, he traveled using stolen cars and supplies from Louisiana all the way up to Canada, where, apparently, he almost bought a property and attempted to settle down. In October of 2007, Richard was finally caught and apprehended in New Brunswick after he was identified driving a stolen vehicle miles from where it was last reported. Despite quite literally being a murderer, Richard did play this incredibly well and simply outsmarted the cop and all the others on his tail for a year and a half. This cop must have been humiliated, but not as much as the unfortunate officer who had a run-in with Joel Delgado, who had his escape planned for days before it actually took place. Joel had been arrested on a myriad of charges, including drug trafficking and shooting his girlfriend, and was looking to go away for a long time. But after his most recent arrest, he told police that he'd been badly injured, so was taken to court in a wheelchair. This is why police were extremely shocked when this happened. For someone confined to a wheelchair, Joel sure can run, as just seconds after escaping, he completely disappeared.
Now, which way you go?
We're straight through the alley, cut that way.
What's your problem? My damn radio came.
Hold on. Damn, I tried to come behind you and get him.
I don't know where he went. Hey, huh? The wheelchair dude got up and ran. Yeah. I couldn't catch his ass. And my radio was in the mother. I had my camera on though. The wheelchair dude. I couldn't catch him there. Till they pulled off. Yeah. I can't even remember his name. He on the run. Alright. Hey, he took off, man. The wheelchair dude ran. He had a neck brace on and all this.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Didn't need that wheelchair very much, did he?
Hell no.
Unfortunately for Joel, his freedom was short-lived, as just a few hours later, he was caught and arrested once more, gaining nothing other than a count of felony escape to add to the list. It could be argued these last few cops had a simple lapse in judgment or simply got beaten in the moment, but Mac Proctor proved that this cop had no idea what he was doing in the first place, all by knowing the law and standing his ground. Mac was parked in a private parking lot waiting for a takeout order while on his shift as a delivery driver. While his vehicle wasn't in a designated parking spot, it wasn't blocking the flow of traffic, and he'd only left it there unattended while picking up his food. Upon returning to his vehicle, Mac was approached by a police officer stating he was violating parking rules.
All right, Mr. Proctor.
That is your last name.
Everything okay?
Do I need to answer any of your questions?
You don't have to answer anything, dude.
Okay.
You don't have to. Lucky you stand here all day. I get paid either way.
Can you go ahead and finish your job so I can carry on?
What's it with the anger, dude?
I'm not angry.
You're not angry? You always talk to everybody like that?
I'm not angry.
Oh, okay.
I just want you to go ahead and wrap things up, please.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, Mac has every right to stay silent in the face of the officer's questions, especially ones that don't at all pertain to criminal proceedings. At no point did he raise his tone or say anything out of line, yet the officer asks why he's being so angry. Many people think that some police officers are used to consistently being in command and control in these interactions, and it's possible the same is true with this officer. When Mac exercised his rights and just asked for things to be moved along, this cop was surprised and took it as a combative statement.
All right, well, you know, I'll give you a break on it, but you know what I'm saying? This isn't a parking spot, okay, dude?
You're not giving me a break. You're harassing me at this point.
I'd
like to
here.
Leave. May I leave now, please?
Well, do you understand?
Am I being detained?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
All right. So do you understand why I stopped you?
Do I need to answer any more of your questions?
You don't have to.
Okay.
The officer informs Mac that he is being detained for parking here. To issue a citation for parking violation, you must be breaking either local, state, or federal law. Something like parking in a handicap spot without proper documentation.
Hey, Mr. Proctor, can I just give you your stuff so you can leave?
Can you?
I can, but you're the one. I would have let you go a long time ago.
I need to do for you to hand me my documents so
I'll
I can leave?
I'll get you right now. I just want to know that, you know, that you're okay, because usually I don't get people all have this.
What do I need to do for you to hand me my documents so I can be on my way?
You're okay.
I don't need to answer any of your questions.
Okay, there we go again. Jesus Christ. I'm trying to say that.
You're trying to display your power to me right now.
No, I'm concerned about it. Is there a problem to be concerned about another human being?
You have no reason to be concerned about me.
So it's okay then. You're okay then.
You can hand me my documents and I can be on my way. Or we can.
Okay. You're not gonna. Okay, here. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna take a chance on you. All right, here, Mr. Proctor. You're about everything's cool. All right. We're blocking traffic here to your stop.
Mac was allowed to leave without further incident, but this interaction raises questions about why he was met with further difficulties after doing nothing other than exercising his Fifth Amendment right. In fact, it's strange that the entire interaction even happened in the first place. If the officer had observed Mac's vehicle obstructing traffic, the incident could have been avoided by simply asking him to move his vehicle out of the way and let him go about his day from there. Instead, the officer detained Mac, preventing him from moving his vehicle and keeping it in the very place that's allegedly impeding traffic. Flow. The cop later found out that Mac wasn't even a federal agent or officer himself, and simply managed to prove just how valuable it is to know the law.